So if you have your Bibles, John chapter 1, if you'll stand with me reading in honor of God's Word, the next few weeks we'll be talking about looking in John at people who met Jesus and found life. Meeting Jesus and finding life. So we read this morning, beginning in John chapter 1, verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. Verse 35. A John with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak. They heard John speak about Jesus. Verse 37. And they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, which is translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came, saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him the 10th hour, or 4 o'clock in the evening. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought him to Jesus. Verse 42. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas." The next day, Jesus purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Heavenly Father, as we stand before you now with our Bibles open, we ask that you would open our hearts to the truth of your word and help us understand the importance, oh Lord, the importance that we have as a church of telling others about Jesus. Help us, Lord, be burdened, those of us who know Jesus, about people, family and friends, who still this very day do not know Jesus, who have not found life. We pray for others who may be among us here today who do not know Jesus personally, and we pray that they might be drawn, as we honor Jesus today, they might be drawn to Jesus and find forgiveness of sin and new life. We thank you, Lord, for all that you give us. We thank you for sending Jesus. May my words please Jesus today and honor him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today I ask you this question as we begin. Who is the most famous person you have ever met? Who is the most famous person that you have ever met? I mean, personally, you've had the opportunity to stand or sit or be close to someone who is famous. Think about it for just a moment. Now, turn to your neighbor and tell them who you met, who is the most famous person you've ever met. If you're by somebody, tell them just for a moment. Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Well, when you think about famous people, generally they fall in categories, don't they? Athletes, people who are in politics, those who are in business or in government or other kinds of things. And we are excited when we have met those people. I remember my son meeting a famous athlete. He loved to play football younger in his life. And he got an autograph, had his picture made with a famous athlete. And he could not wait till he got home to tell me about his experience of meeting this famous athlete. Well, we've been reading these words, and there's no one more famous than Jesus. Would you agree? No one more famous than Jesus. When you meet Jesus, something different. You don't get an autograph. You don't just have a good experience of being up close to somebody famous. When you meet Jesus, you get a new life. When you meet Jesus, you get a new life. The real why for all of what we do in this church is found around these stories in John. John tells us these stories about people, everyday people, who had all kinds of troubles, who met Jesus. And when they met Jesus, they were changed. They experienced a new life. So I want us to take just a moment, and I want to make a couple of observations from this story today about these men who found Jesus and who brought their friends and family to Jesus. First of all, this seems rather obvious, but when we can only come to know Jesus, we meet Jesus when somebody tells us about Jesus. So we read in verse number 6, these words again, they're on the screen. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. There came a man sent from God. He came to witness. Jesus now has called every one of us who know Jesus Christ to be a witness. He's called us to go and tell other people about him, to tell them what we know about Jesus. John said a lot of things about Jesus. In verse 15, he said, this one is high, he's great, I am. He existed before me. We read in verse number 29 that John says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We read in verse 33, John said about Jesus that he is the one who, when you meet him, he baptizes you on the inside by the Holy Spirit. He said about Jesus in verse 34, I have seen and I testify, Jesus is the Son of God. Look, there came a man sent from God, and now it's your turn and my turn. It could be said of you when you go to work. It could be said of you when you go to your home, when you go to your neighborhood. There comes a man or a woman sent from God. We've been sent. We've been dispatched by Jesus. Listen to me, church. We don't have an option on this. We don't get a pass on this. This is not for just the preacher to do. This is for all of God's people. All of us are called to go and tell. All of us are called. Those of us who have met Jesus, young and old alike, boys and girls, when you meet Jesus, you want to tell somebody about Jesus. There came a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness. That's your story and mine now. We now have been sent by God. You wonder why God keeps you at that miserable job that you cannot stand. It may be he sent you there so that you are a witness for Jesus. You wonder why you live in the neighborhood you live in. You wonder why you have these neighbors you have. There came a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness. That's the story of every Christian. That's the story of every follower. We say as a church that our mission, we write it here on our bulletin, on these pamphlets we hand out, that we will be a church. Our mission is to help everybody who comes under this roof, who comes around the influence of this ministry, to follow Jesus, to love other people like Jesus, and, oh, by the way, to tell others about Jesus. So I want you to look at this experience, this real historic experience of these people who met Jesus. And what happened? Look, I'm talking about not following Jesus. I'm talking about meeting Jesus. I have the privilege, you have the privilege, of introducing Jesus to somebody else. Listen, this is very important what I'm saying. When you have somebody that you respect highly who comes to your home, and not everybody in your home knows this person, you're honored to introduce that person. You're honored to introduce that person to the rest of your family. It is the same for us who know Jesus. It is our privilege, it is our honor to introduce our friends and our family to Jesus. There came a man, there came a woman sent from God whose name was, you fill in the blank, who came as a witness to testify about the light. Jesus is the light. So we learn, first of all, the importance of this very simple truth that we meet Jesus when someone tells us about Him. May I ask you this question? Those of you who know Jesus, I've asked people all morning long, who introduced you to Jesus? Who told you about Jesus? Aren't you glad that person took the time to sit with you and tell you about Jesus? Yes or no? Are you glad about that? Are you happy about that? Someone took the time. They took the time. Quinn prayed it so well for us at the offertory. Lord, help us slow down. When they come your way, when these people come your way, you're sent to them. Take the time to tell them about Jesus. The second thing I'd say to you is this. Jesus, and this is so important, this is the good news. Jesus always welcomes those who want to meet Him. I said follow Him, but actually it's better for me to say it this way. Jesus, when you take the time to introduce someone that you know to Jesus, Jesus always welcomes them. Look at this beautiful, these wonderful, precious words. Verse 37, the disciples heard John say, "There goes the Lamb of God." They heard John's testimony, witness, and you know what they did? They started pursuing Jesus as He was walking along. And Jesus turned and saw them coming behind and said to them, look at these precious words, these red letter words. This is what Jesus says when you come to meet Him. What do you seek? You're going to see this more as we go through John and the other times when Jesus meets people. What can I do for you? Jesus would say to you today, friend, in all of your trouble, in all of your pain, in all of your agony, He would say, what do you seek? What do you seek? What do you want? And they said, teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and you will see. So they spent their time with Jesus. They met Jesus, experienced His presence, His power, and who He was. And guess what happened? It leads me to the third observation. People who meet Jesus, it seems rather obvious, doesn't it? People who meet Jesus bring their friends and family to meet Jesus. So we read on. We read in these words, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Him and spent time with Him was Andrew, Simon's brother. And notice these, now notice this series of times where John uses the word found. It's a great word. It's a wonderful word for us. Look at this. Let's see it here. And he says, one of those who heard John speak followed Him, Andrew, and he found his own brother, Simon, and said, we have found the Messiah. He met Jesus. Notice the order. He met Jesus, and Andrew's life was profoundly changed. And because he met Jesus and his life was profoundly changed, he went and found his brother. You go to the ones you love the most. When you find something that is wonderful, when you discover something, you know this word? This word, if we were reading this in the Greek language, this word for found, it is the word eureka. It is the word we use for eureka. It's the discovery of something of great value. It is a discovery of something we thought we'd never find, thought we'd never have. All of a sudden, Andrew has a relationship with Jesus, and because he has this powerful, amazing relationship with Jesus, he goes and finds his brother, who we know was a character and a rascal and a mouthy guy who got himself in all kinds of trouble. And here he comes. And he comes to Jesus. And I love these words in verse 42. He found his brother. He told him, we have found the Messiah. And 42, here it is. He brought him to Jesus. That's about as good as it gets, church. I mean, there's no simpler way for me to describe what we're here to do. Those of you who are part of First Baptist Church, those of you who say that you are a follower of Jesus, those of you who say that you're born again. When I have made the greatest discovery of life and I have found life in Jesus, why in the world would I not spend the time telling other people about Jesus? The most important thing that could ever happen in my life. The thing that has changed my life and made me a new person. So we meet Jesus when someone tells us about Jesus. Jesus welcomes anyone who comes. You know what Jesus says all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these gospel stories about Jesus and his life. You know what he says over and over? Come to me. Jesus' hands are not up pushing us away. Jesus' hands are open. He says, come to me. Look, when you and I, as his followers, go and tell others about Jesus, we open our hands. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter what kind of condition our friends and family are in. It's not our job to get them all cleaned up. It's our job to say, can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you about Jesus? And I promise you this, there is no name like the name of Jesus. Did you know that? There is no name. When you talk about Jesus, when you speak the name of Jesus, you are speaking to people about someone who can bring them life. And you know what? You just talk about Jesus, and after a while, curiosity sets in for people. They want to know more about Jesus. They want to understand more about what it means to follow Jesus. So people who meet Jesus bring their friends and family. Some of us need to go to some friends, and we need to tell them about Jesus. We need to invite them to come and follow Jesus with us who are here. One last thing. When you meet Jesus, that's when you find life. Look, it's in verse 4. When John starts this gospel, these good news, these good words, he says, talking about Jesus, that Jesus was in the beginning and he is the very Word of God. When Jesus speaks, he speaks the very words of the unseen God. He is the eternal Word of God. He is from the beginning. He's always been, always eternal. He is the eternal one, the Lord Jesus. And we also see here in verse 4, he is life. He provides and gives life. He gives life to this world, creator of all things, and he also gives new life to those who follow Jesus. So when you come to know Jesus, when you're born again, the Bible says we have a different kind of life, a life that doesn't end. Even when we die, standing at a funeral service yesterday, I reminded the people who were there in sorrow about their loved one, that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even if you die, are you listening? You will live. That's a different kind of life. Peaceful life, eternal life, abundant life. Life that's renewable. Oh, we need renewable life. You got up yesterday. You did a lot of work in the yard. You got tired. You went home. Your body needed to rest. Our bodies need to rest. But what is on the inside is renewable. We renew ourselves. We renew ourselves. So we learn today that we meet Jesus when somebody takes the time to tell us. There was one sent from God. There came a man. When you walk in the doors of that office tomorrow, when you go out the doors of your house, those words are about you and me. There came a man or a woman sent from God. I'm glad for the man who was sent from God who came to me when I was a boy. You take your responsibility serious. Your obligation is to allow God to send you, church. Oh, yes, we're going to hear the reports tonight about going to Cuba, and we go. We send and go, but we also have to go right here. We have to talk to people in our own neighborhood. So we learn how to bring our friends and family to Jesus. So as I finish, I was thinking how to illustrate this in a way. And so, you know, a friend of mine worked in a business environment that was not open at all to people talking about Jesus, bringing Bibles in there. It was a pre-closed environment where this particular friend of mine worked in business. He had a fellow that sat next to him. Now they worked in what are cubicles. Does everybody know what a cubicle is? You know what I'm talking about? It's that, you know, that it's not the thing on the end of your fingernails. It's not that. It's the, you know, it's a place you go sit and do your work in an open area. Generally there's no walls much around you. So if you work in a cubicle area, it's a little annoying sometimes. You hear everything more than you want to hear. So my friend sat next to a guy he'd known for a long time. But this fella did not want to have anything to do with Jesus. He kept telling him, I don't want to hear about Jesus from you. He knew his friend was a follower of Jesus. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about the Bible. I don't want to hear all of your talk about all of that religious stuff. He just was so resistant to anything that my friend would talk to him about. So he really prayed about it. It was a hard place to share about Jesus. So he decided what he would do is he would wait until his friend got to work, sat down with his coffee, you know, did all, you know how you do when you go to your job, you have to go and put all your stuff up and turn all the stuff on and get all. One, he waited for his friend to get in there, get settled at his position there, his office position. And then my friend would just pray to Jesus really loud. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the bread of life. Are you hearing me? You are the resurrection of life. Thank you for all you do. He just every day he would pray. And I mean, he would pray and he would worship and he would just praise the Lord Jesus, and he would do it, and he did it, and he knew his friend could hear all of this. You know, his friend would try to turn his music up. He knew he was listening. Now listen, after a long period of time, I mean, this went on for a long time, but he was faithful. He went to work. He just prayed. He just prayed. He prayed so his friend could hear about Jesus. And one day, his friend rolled around, you know, it was one of those places where these chairs that roll on rollers, coasters. He rolled around the cubicle and he said, man, who in the world are you talking to? And that was his chance to talk about who? Jesus. All right. He got creative, church. He was creative because he was in an environment where it was hard to know how to tell somebody else about Jesus. So, what about you? What about me? Meeting Jesus is the way you find life. Meeting Jesus is the way you find life. Oh, not education, not knowing the Bible. No, not even going to church. Church has its place and has a responsibility. My job, your job, if you know Jesus, is to be a teller. Is to be a teller. You don't need to argue about the dinosaurs, for heaven's sakes. You don't need to spend all your time on all these, you know, minutiae, all these other things. Just make a simple plan to say to your friend, when they're having a really hard day, look, you got to wait for the time. They're going to be having a hard day. And on that right day, when it's the hardest, you know what you say? Could I talk to you about Jesus? Don't be afraid. You never know what's going to happen. When you say it, let the Lord draw them. And then, you know what they might hear? This is the great thing about God's Word. They might hear it in their mind. What do you seek? And then you tell them this, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be what, church? That's what we do, amen? We're tellers. We're tellers. It's better to be a teller than a tater. Did you know that? Yeah. One of our men went out the door today, said, you know, his dad, he was telling his dad about, we talk about the taters up here. You know who the taters are, don't you? Agitators, aggravators, irritators, haters. You know any taters? Hope you're not a tater. I hope you're a teller. I hope you're a teller. You know what I've found to be true? I am the happiest. Now listen, I'm just trying to give you my personal testimony. You know, I'm just like you. I can get up on the wrong side of the bed and just have it all go wrong. You can just ask Pat, my wife. It's pitiful. But you know when I'm the happiest? When I'm the happiest is when I have made every effort I can when I come in contact with people to tell them about Jesus. It just makes your day better. By the way, did you know you're not responsible for whether they meet Jesus or follow him or not? Isn't that good? You're off the hook. Just tell. Just tell. Just tell. Oh, I told my friend and he didn't do anything. Well, how do you know? Just tell. Just tell. Be a teller, not a tater.